country back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. 8 years of Obama, and it's over. It's done. And we have finally an opportunity to just dig ourselves out of this hole. Couldn't be happier today. I wrote that on my Facebook, my personal Facebook. I thought I was going to get incinerated alive. And people know what I stand for. So much here to talk about. Let's start with this. I don't think I have ever enjoyed watching CNN as much as I did last night. To say that, anytime you see people get their comeuppance like that, I know it's Schadenfreude, but it's because they were so wrong, so wrapped up in their just this arrogant delusion. You know, speaking for me and the entire Sam Nation team here, you know, we really had this thing right from the get-go. We understood that, and I'll tell you what it comes down to. Trump, from the beginning, did something totally and completely different from all the other politicians that ran on either side of the aisle, maybe with the exception of Bernie Sanders. He spoke to all Americans, okay? He didn't just divide it into Democrats, spoke to not just to Democrats, not just to Republicans. He spoke to everyone, okay? And this is the thing, like politicians these days right now, it's so frustrating about this is that they speak to us and they divide us up into little groups, don't they? Okay, we got the white guys over there. We got, you know, we got women over here. We have minorities and sub-minorities and all these different groups. And then they spend millions and millions of special interest dollars in figuring out how they're going to target these groups and send messages to these groups that, in theory, will activate them and bring them to the polls. And this is what is colloquially referred to as the ground game. Remember this? The infamous ground game. The ground game that Hillary had down pat. The ground game that was supposed to carry her to a landslide victory, that once and for all was going to relegate Trump to the dustbin of history. And what happened? See, the thing is this is so encouraging. And it ought to be encouraging to you, even if you don't like the guy. Because I know so many of my liberal left-wing friends who are, every election, they lament the big money in politics. They lament the special interest in politics. They lament, and you just can't, you know, a guy just can't come along and run for, you just can't do it. You have to have a machine. And there he was from the very beginning, from when he announced in Trump Tower, rode down that escalator. He started, first things first, talking to Americans. And he didn't need an interpreter. He didn't need a focus group. He didn't need pollsters to tell him what he should say and shouldn't say. He just spoke. And people obviously listened. And when we break, and we don't have all the figures yet because the dust hasn't settled on the election. But when we begin to unpackage fully what happened, you will see way more minorities than predicted voted for Trump. You will see Democrats. You will see voters that never voted before. You will see a completely redrawn map, not necessarily a physical map or an electoral map, but just a map of voters that came together and united behind this one candidate. It was clear from the get-go that this was something different. Because these are the issues, right? Nobody wanted to talk about immigration in the raw terms. I'll bring up the worst one, immigration. Nobody wanted to talk about it in the terms of we got to stop it. Legal versus illegal. Trade. No major party candidate has addressed it. This is one where they all agree. Foreign policy. I mean, you know, for the first time, somebody actually spoke logically about what needs to happen and how it needs to happen. Nobody wanted Obamacare. He was talking about Obamacare before when people still liked it. I mean, in the year and a half of Trump's candidacy, public opinion on Obamacare plummeted. But he was talking about it before it did. Again, ringing true and not the typical politician who goes just where the sound bites are or where, you know, where the fire seems to be or the smoke seems to be coming from. And he spoke out so passionately for our veterans. So I will remember, I've got to say this because, you know, everywhere on the radio and everywhere on TV, people just completely missed the boat on this because they kept going to the statistics. They kept going to the data. And the number crunchers and the pundits blew it because they missed the underlying movement that was driving and propelling Trump's candidacy forward. And we said here, I remember, what was it? Was that May 3rd? No, May 3rd was a primary. Remember the Indiana primary. And if you'll recall, Trump won that. And that was basically what clinched Trump, Cruz conceded the next day. And so on May 7th, I had this to say. What does Hillary have to look forward to? Trump is going to eat her alive. All this stuff, all this nonsense about, you know, his negatives are out off the, all the numbers, all he's too far behind. He's too far behind. It's just all that stuff is nonsense. It's drivel. Trump has May, June, July, August, September, October. He's got so much time and he's going to use it to destroy her. So here's my prediction. Trump is winning by a landslide. It's not just a Trump win. It's a landslide. And I stand by that because and this is all the way back in May, if you think about that. I stand by it because one, Trump, by the time all these numbers get crunched, he's going to be over 300 in electoral votes. And Hillary will be somewhere around 230, 240. But I also think that, you know, can you imagine where he would have been in the vote if he had avoided the detours into some of the silly distractions, you know, the cons and Alicia Machado. So, He outperformed everyone's expectations, and if you're wondering how it's possible, why this happened, if you're waking up and you just are agog in disbelief, understand that it's back to what I've always said. Look at how Trump performed in California. Look at how he performed in New York. Look at how he performed in the District of Columbia. These are the centers. Los Angeles, New York City, Washington, D.C. These are the centers. These are the bubbles, the insulated capitals of, yes, exactly. That's where all the drive-bys are. All the mainstream media, that's where they're located. And they live in their bubble. And to some extent, you and I, given that we're here in Southern California, we live in a bubble, too. I mean, Trump lost the state. What was it? 66 to 33. I mean, it was a drubbing. That means only a third of California basically voted for Trump. And that most of that are all inland counties. So if you live in Malibu, you was probably like 90% Hillary. You run the numbers. So you're walking around and you're watching CNN and you're watching even Fox News, right? They got it wrong up and down. And you feel like you are, you feel like you're just, all you're here, you're in an echo chamber. And that, I think, is what's contributing to this devastation that is everywhere. I mean, people are in tears. People are, you. So back to last night. I'm watching CNN, and these people looked just, they looked despondent. You know, they had that board with the map on it, with the electoral votes. And John King was the operator, the designated touchscreen. Yeah, exactly. He was in, he had that whole thing going. And I mean, when the shots would pan out and Wolf Blitzer was talking, who, by the way, looked like he'd just risen from the dead. You know, you could see John King in the corner touching this map. And he was just, no, he was. He was playing with the touch map in the corner, hunched over. And I mean, you could see the desperation, ways that they were trying to make it work. And as the night, and the night went long, I'm telling you, as the night went long, they started to very quickly realize nothing was going to, it was nothing good for Hillary. And at one point, I tell you, once it started to get really clear, you know, Van Jones, he's the, he used to be in the Clinton, no, in the Obama White House, didn't he? Was some kind of a community relations guy. Crazy left-wing liberal. But anyway, he at one point had a full-fledged emotional meltdown. I thought he was going to start to cry. And here's where it starts. And it's something very interesting here. So let's play. This is CNN last night, Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. And then they move to the panel, and it includes Corey Lewandowski, who is Trump's former campaign manager, but and then also Van Jones. And here's what Jones has to say.
People have talked about a miracle. I'm hearing about a nightmare. It's hard to be a parent tonight for a lot of us. You tell your kids, don't be a bully. You tell your kids, don't be a bigot. You tell your kids, do your homework and be prepared. And then you have this outcome and you have people putting children to bed tonight. And they're afraid of breakfast. They're afraid of, how do I explain this to my children?
All right, well, so, I mean, you should have seen him, though. It was, his eyes were, you could see that there were tears coming in. I mean, it was that dramatic. Now, let's take this. First of all, he says it's hard to be a parent, like as in a father or mother, right? How do I tell my kids about this? Well, first of all, I mean, since what a great opportunity to talk to your kids. Let me just say this as a parent myself. What a great, you know what? You win some and you lose some. What do you mean? How do I tell my kids about this? You talk to your children. That's what you do. Since when are you afraid to wake up in the morning and tell your kids about, oh, I don't know, an election? It's very odd. But this don't be a bully. I mean, I'm not going to talk about this don't be a bigot thing. But this was a common theme of everything that I heard last night. There was no interest in understanding why Trump won. There was no interest in understanding why you and I were drawn to his candidacy. There was no interest for the millions and millions of Americans who voted for him. Just recriminating statements like, well, you know, don't tell your kids. I tell my kids not to be a bully and not to be a bigot, which, of course, another way of saying, hey, the guy that got elected president that half the country voted for, guess what? He's a bigot and a bully. And then came my favorite part. Do your homework and be prepared. Really? See, because my kids were up late. Well, not as late as Barron Trump, who was falling asleep during Trump's acceptance speech. But my kids were up late and they were with me. And you know what? I turned to my son and I said at the end of this, I said, you know, do you know why Donald Trump won? And Daniel said something fairly intelligent. He said, well, because people like him and they want him to be president. And I said, well, it's part of it. But he worked hard at this. That, you know, and this is something that we got to understand that you know, when Hillary thought she had it in the bag. So this is a full circle, you know, when all this media that thought that this was done, that it was an assured Hillary win, that the Dems had it in the bag. The self-congratulatory echo chamber only served to underline and encourage her natural inclination towards laziness. And same thing she did with Bernie in the primaries. So, I mean, this is it. This is the most important thing. It comes down in the last weeks of this election, when the polls were really close, who traveled to three or four states each day? Who went out there? Who did rally after rally after rally? Who was running the map with this? It was Trump. He just outworked her. And so, just like that, you know, that is America. He did his homework. He was prepared. All right, let's unpack this a little more when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Night after the big election. President Donald J. Trump. Time to wrap your heads around that. Everybody's got an opinion right now for how and why this whole thing happened. Let's take a second here. I got a lot of callers, so let me just, I can't get to everybody, but I want to talk to Ken. Ken, are you there?
Yes.
Ken, Sherman Oaks, what do you think? What do you think happened
here? All right. Well, thanks for taking the call. First of all, I feel like you're right. There's everyone's trying to pinpoint the exact reason this happened, and I believe that there is not one reason. This is like a perfect storm scenario. So many people to blame, so many reasons. But Trump saw this. He forecasted this. You know, people try to make him out as a buffoon, and I really dislike him. I feel sick to my stomach. I still feel sick that this happened, but he saw this.
What do you mean he saw this? In what way?
Well, I think, you know, he witnessed what happened with Sarah Palin, I believe, was the beginning of it for him. He witnessed how people were coming out of the woodwork, these racists and these bigots were all of a sudden feeling emboldened. And he said, wait a minute, there's a whole audience out there that has been hiding in the shadows because they felt society wouldn't allow them to voice their opinions. And so they would either not come out to vote or they just wouldn't get very involved in the political process. And so he knew that the Clinton and the establishment, both parts of the establishment, didn't even
Ken, I hate to break it to you, but there's absolutely no way that he won half the country by appealing to racists and bigots. It's just not. That's not what happened here. So you're wrong.
One of the reasons.
But it's not. Look, he's. You can't dismiss this, and this is actually where your side gets it wrong. You dismiss people who, let's say, want to be tough on immigration as racists. Let me give you a great example of that from my Facebook. Yeah, this is a funny one. So Facebook is a place, right, where you accumulate lots of people from your past you don't necessarily keep in touch with. And so I have this friend from elementary school. And here's what this person, this is what she wrote on my Facebook. It's hilarious. In response to me saying, I'm really happy about how the election turned out. Sam, you are an immigrant. You ran around school with striped socks and a bowl cut. as a foreign child. Trump would have wanted you out. Disappointed. But I've seen your posts, and now you're on top of the world, so F all the other immigrants, right? That's what she wrote. Now, here's why I'm sharing this, right? First of all, I bet you guys all wanted to know that I had a bowl cut, okay, in the fifth grade. So there's that. I also, it's true, I had striped socks, and I would occasionally, with those striped socks, wear plaid shorts. So there's a visual now for all of you to enjoy. But I'm really bringing all this up because here's the thing. So I am an immigrant. My parents immigrated here legally. And it's an important key distinction. If I want to enforce legal immigration, that does not make me a racist. And when you people, Ken, you and your cohorts in the media and all the other goofball leftists out there wanted to say, oh, it's you racists, those racists, those Confederate flag waving, Confederate waggling, that was such a small little subset of Trump support that you don't win an election with that. And instead what you did and what the media did here is just further alienate and piss off all the people who are going, well, wait a minute. I think that this country should have some controls on immigration, and I don't want illegals here, and I think we should enforce our laws, and now they're getting pushed further and further away from the center or from compromise. So there it is. And incidentally, I watched these returns. At my house, the last man standing in all of this was himself, a Hispanic immigrant and major Trump supporter, came to my house. So what can I tell you? We're back after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Challenge my opinion. Challenge opinions of others on the substance of the opinion.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you want to be on the program, call 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. Talking about the election, post-election roundup, A lot of these news stories, see, the funny thing is they all still miss the whole boat on what happened. And it will take, what's that expression? If your head is too far in some place, it takes you a while to get it out. So what we will have to do is send some of these journalists in for a very complicated procedure to remove the top portion of their bodies from the bottom portion of their bodies so they can see some daylight. So I've got this article in the WashPo, Washington Post, who's this guy. I mean, he just totally misses the boat. He's doing a post-mortem, Mark Fisher. And he says, Manhattan billionaire, playboy lifestyle. He defied a people's uprising and, unbridled, unashamed ego. And he makes this whole article about Trump, about how Trump is this, this larger than life, maniac. But I'll humor Fisher here in the Washington Post for a minute. I'll give it to you that Trump's larger than life. I mean, he's this media personality. He's created, an image, right? But the people that voted for him have given him a mandate. But the mandate isn't for the man, Donald Trump. The mandate is for certain key issues. And if he doesn't follow through on them, it's done. I mean, they'll find another person. The best example I can give you is, do you remember this guy, Bernie Sanders? Anybody? Okay, what happened there? He led a movement. There's no question about it. And the minute that Bernie Sanders sold out and endorsed Hillary Clinton and declared, I'm with her, it was over. The next Bernie Sanders rally, 4.5 people showed up. Okay? And that same thing would happen to Trump. It's not about his personality. The reason he has, and we've discussed it many times, the reason that he has a lock on his followers, on his acolytes, on the voters, ultimately, who made him president, is because he championed and got behind certain things that were never being talked about, never being addressed before. And if he doesn't address them, if he doesn't take care of them, it'll be gone. Gone like the wind. So we have let's do a quick call. Tiffany, do we have Tiffany on the line?
Yes.
In LA? Tiffany,
yes,
how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm not depressed from the election results. I just wanted to comment. I don't normally comment on these shows, but that man's comment about the fact that he's literally sick, I thought that was the dumbest comment ever, and I'm not trying to disrespect him, but at the same time, we have to realize that the reason why that most people voted for Trump is because they chose the economy. They're not choosing a bigot. They're not choosing a racist. Nobody likes his character. People aren't super proud to say that Trump is the one that they voted for. But we want a better economy. We don't want
I'm confused. I mean, wasn't the Obama economy fantastic for you?
Say it again?
I'm confused. Wasn't the Obama economy fantastic for you?
I'm sorry. That's probably why I said say it again, because I didn't believe the economy was anything positive for me. I look at my paycheck and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I just got robbed. You know that I don't know. If we
8 years ago,
it wasn't going to be either.
I'll tell you something, Tiffany. 8 years ago, in my company, I was paying about $100 a person for health care.
Yeah.
Now it's about $400. And I'm lucky. I was able to make some moves in order to protect myself from some real price spikes.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, we're all feeling it, and you're absolutely right. I really appreciate your call. It's a salient point. And this is just it. I'm explaining. Nobody likes to be called a racist and a bigot to dismiss a legitimate position. It's offensive, and that's exactly what Hillary and the media did in this election. And it cost him big time. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
There's life underground.
This news just in, 3 were injured in a squirrel attack at the Volusia County Senior Living Facility. Yes, all the way in Florida, major swing state, went for Trump. But in the midst of all of this, a squirrel, a rogue rodent, entered a facility housing seniors and went berserk. Well, apparently the squirrel bit a bunch of people. There was a 911 call from inside the building. They said, we have a squirrel that's entered the building. We need help. It's still in here. People are bleeding. It's bad. You know, I got to tell you something. Really, there's just about any imaginable way that you can get hurt. And if you do, and you know, like the squirrel, for example, I wonder if it was insured. Well, or if it, you know, if, I don't know. Well, at any rate, if you get hurt, you got to call. There's one person to call, and it's Sweet James Bergener. He's the only attorney we trust here. So, I mean, if a squirrel gets your nuts or whatever it is, what you got to do is you got to call Sweet James. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And, well, so we got, let's take a call. Mike, are you there? Mike?
I am here.
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Okay, I know why the Latinos, African Americans, and general deplorables polled low,
Because if you talked about being a Trump supporter on social media, especially in the reform immigration websites in Spanish, which I speak fluently, or in English, you were vulgarly attacked in two different languages. African Americans, you were called racial epithets as well. So you just stayed quiet, and you knew you would make your voice heard loudly, like Michael Moore said, at the ballot box, and that's what happened. Additionally, I disagree with the previous caller. Homeland Security was the number one issue. You take a look at Riverside, 14 killed, 21 injured. Women, men, LGBT community, immigrants from Vietnam, Africa, Iran, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, 49 killed, Hispanic LGBT. What did everybody have in common? They were American. That is what codified this country's vote Donald Trump.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I always look back at the Pulse nightclub attack as being one of the shifting moments in the race. Because it's really you know, what Trump said in the wake of that attack was excellent. Basically saying, look, we're all Americans, we all deserve to live, and we've got to have some common sense, honest discussions about our, one, national security, and two, immigration. Now, I think that in defense of our last caller, I think what she was saying, for her, it was the economy. It just was for her. And I think there were people that voted based on the economy, but a large, overwhelming number of supporters, especially in the primary, it was all about immigration. But underlying all of this, Mike, was this absolute, on all of these issues, whatever issue was most important to you, was a distrust of the status quo, of the power of the media elites. And I went through this just the other day, but right before the election on Monday night, I talked about this polling data that had come out in October, and it all had to do with, you know, agree or disagree to these statements about, you know, I'm just an insignificant speck of dust in this world ruled by the political elites. And by 60, 70, 80% of respondents were all like, yeah, I agree with that. I just feel powerless. Everybody is, you know, the cards are stacked against me. And and politicians, regardless of party affiliation, aren't looking out for my best interests. And when it comes to immigration, this is where Republicans have been completely tone deaf. Okay, comprehensive immigration reform, aka amnesty, is not what people want. Now, it is what people want here in California for some odd reason. Whatever it is, it is the popular thinking when you're out on the street here in California, but it's not in the country as a whole. And to your point, Mike, I think you get savaged. I think you can't even. How many Trump stickers did you see? The guy won the election. I really, honestly, I mean this seriously. I think I saw 10 stickers this whole election. And why? It's simple. Nobody wanted their car messed up because the people, just like you said, Mike, these people on the other side were insane and violent. Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Mike, for the call. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. I was in Europe last week. Switzerland, beautiful place, lovely people, good chocolate. One of the hotels I stayed in was 400 years old. Can we even wrap our heads around that? I mean, 400 years old. What's old around here? Rocks? We have some old rocks.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
And we're back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. And yeah, you know, just kind of following up on this issue about votes being pushed underground, it definitely happened, and it wasn't accounted for, and so I'm telling you, these voters here, just because they went underground doesn't mean they're any less passionate. Okay, just because they didn't have the swag out or their stickers on or they weren't you know, passionately advocating for Trump on Facebook doesn't mean that they aren't engaged, and also doesn't mean that they don't expect him to honor the mandate that they've given him. And so the issues that matter to him, and whether it's, you know, whether it's the economy or whether it's, you know, it's immigration, trade, these are all important. This, you know, he'll have to keep these promises. And unlike Obama, he doesn't have a, you know, complacent media that's going to, you know, hold water for him. Far from it. Everybody is going to hold Trump's little feet to the fire. And so that, you know, that brings me to the number, you know, the number one question that people are asking me today. Of all the things, right? The one thing everybody's asking me. Do you know what it is? Will he pardon her? Is he really, or will he actually prosecute her, right? They're asking if Obama's going to pardon her, but will he actually prosecute her? Everybody wants to know. Okay, here's my answer. Long and the short of it, first of all, and there's some very specific law that deals with presidential pardons. So I'm putting my attorney hat on here for a second. The president's pardon power is pretty broad. Okay, the president can actually pardon somebody even for a crime that has not yet been charged. So long as the act in question has happened at some point prior to the pardon, right? So the president can't come along and say, all right, Bob, I'm going to pardon you for everything that for something that happens next week. Can't happen. But the president can say, hey, I'm going to pardon you for any and all crimes related to X, you know, that have happened at any time in the past. It can be that broad. So it's interesting. Obama definitely can pardon Hillary. And I, you know, will he do it? I don't know. But let me tell you, here's my thinking on this. It's probably the best gift that he could give Obama, give Trump. It really would be the best incoming present for Trump, because then Trump doesn't have to. He doesn't have to get into it. He doesn't have to prosecute Hillary and keep his promise. And he can rail against it and, you know, say, hey, well, I would have if I could have. And I, you know, so I don't know what he's going to do. I will, if I had to bet on anything, it's that Obama pardons her. I mean, it's going to happen. He's going to do it. I guarantee you. I don't know. I think it's going to happen. So there it is. We're off tomorrow and Friday. Go Kings, go. And then we're back on Monday. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Girl.